Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Yes, we're still on the radio all the time, every day, and we're still out doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It is presented by the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven scratch-offs to give away. We were at Costas and Timonium on Wednesday of this week, talking about all sorts of things, and we'll be at State Fair in Catonsville for breakfast on Tuesday. And as we get through a lot of football, Luke's and Owings Mills, we're trying to find a baseball manager, get through the World Series. I will also be back at Coco's, where I took some carry out the other day. Dan and Laura will be there on the 5th of November in the afternoon. Then on the 7th, we move back to Essex and Pizza John's, where I am certainly going to have a cheesesteak and some French fries, crinkle cut proper with gravy. I'm going to dip them in there. I've waited to have this guy on for a long time. He came on at the beginning of the fall of democracy, which is about a week after Trump was elected, this time last year. We've had a lot of fears. He had an illness, and then I was off the record and on the record and on, and here we are. And finally, I get together with former Attorney General Brian Frosch from our great state here of Maryland, the Free State. And, this is like, if I get together every week or two, it would be a different story. 2 months ago, it would have been Epstein. Now it's the White House walls. By the time people hear this, it could be, I don't know, we could be bombing Winnipeg after they boo the national anthem at the World Series or something. How are you holding up as someone who understands like the law and the Supreme Court at a higher level than I? I always think that people smarter than me must really be losing their minds over all of this, Brian.
Well, I certainly don't fall into that category, Nestor, but I am losing my mind. I mean, I think what you're watching is the fall of democracy, or at least attempted murder of democracy. Trump, I think he suffers from some cognitive and mental illnesses, and he's on a revenge tour. I'm not sure he knows where he is on any given day, but he is determined to act like an autocrat, to model Vladimir Putin and Viktor Orban, and take control of the electoral process, overturn all kinds of norms. It's a horrifying thing to watch, watching people getting beat up in the streets and U.S. citizens getting dragged off to detention by a bunch of thugs, watching him tear down the White House, pick a fight with Canada over an ad that he didn't like. It's crazy stuff.
I don't even, there's a million directions to go in with this, and I had a little exercise on this, but this was my thought on the revenge tour that you speak of, that anyone outspoken. A, I have an FCC license and have for 27 years, and I've seen the things that the FCC, this, they're all goons. All of them are goons. They're all the work of a criminal act. And when I see Kash Patel out in front of a ring looking to bring down the NBA, which I have no doubt that there could be gambling in the NBA and players and dirty poker games and the mafia could be in on it. But when I see Kash Patel in front of it, after seeing all sorts of attorney generals in New York and other places be indicted, and Bolton and Comey, just all down the line, I lose confidence for even something sort of looks legitimate, but it also could be a witch hunt.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's really hard to tell when something comes out of the Justice Department or the FBI, whether it's legit or whether it's part of the revenge tour. I just don't know. I mean, a lot of the stuff that they're going after people for is, well, I mean, Tish James, the Attorney General of New York, is a great example. They looked through her record, they tried to find anything they could. You had top people at the Justice Department say, nope, nothing to see here, no bad conduct, no nothing. Trump gets all upset because she sued him and she won. And so he fires the folks who are in charge, brings in somebody who'll do whatever he wants, and she does. And there are disciplinary actions that courts can take for bogus lawsuits. And in this situation, I think at the end of the line, you may well find that to be the case. You can't bring a suit in bad faith. And if I were Tish James, I'd be demanding every piece of correspondence that went back and forth from Donald Trump, or every communication, Donald Trump to the U.S. attorney, to the top folks at
Well, I mean,
Justice.
it was on Twitter. You're right. So, I mean, it was a mistake that's how demented the man is. And I don't feel like in a dementia sense of old, tired, and not there. I mean, demented like demented from the first words I ever heard about five kids in a park in Central Park and 9/11. I mean, everything he ever said on Howard Stern's show was demented 25 years ago.
Look, if you saw a video of somebody in a plane with an oxygen tank in the wrong place on their face, flying a plane and dumping excrement on crowds of people, you would think that 11-year-old had some serious behavioral and mental issues. And for it to come from a 79-year-old person, I think is a sign of real sickness.
Well, there have been so many signs of sickness. Brian Frosch is our guest, former charge. So, before I get to my little game that I played and involves AI, I wanted to do you think these people are going to have a tribunal? I mean, do you think that Pee Wee German and these people that are surrounding him, all of these people that are in on this? I mean, we've seen an insurrection, and I have these Trumpers in my life who feel educated to me, who don't even believe that January 6th happened. Like we're in a different bubble, obviously the algorithm and all of that, but I keep thinking, like, really smart people like you that sort of stand on the edge of the law, Supreme Court people that don't buy into internet rumors and buy into facts, evidence, science, the things that we generally bring into the court of law before this guy got involved in politics 10 years ago. Do you think he'll ever, or any of these people that were ever going to get control of this, Brian?
Esther, I'm really worried about what happens next. I mean, they're trying to steal the midterms by doing the redistricting. I think it's easy to predict that the Trump and his claque are going to put the military, they're going to put ICE, they're going to put anybody they can at polling places where Democrats show up to vote. They're going to try to intimidate people, stop them from voting. They're trying to steal seats in the House of Representatives by doing this aggressive gerrymandering. And you wonder whether democracy can survive something like that. I mean, Trump's numbers are underwater, but is it enough to ensure that there are fair elections the next time around, and next time we elect a president? I mean, he said before he was elected that you're never going to have to do another election. Elect me this time, you'll never have to worry about an election again. What does that mean?
I don't know what that would mean in a courtroom if it ever would get there. Brian, I was preparing for you, and back in the old
Uh-oh.
days, Don Mohler would send me all of these sheets of stuff because he thought I was like a student of the game in that way in the internet. And in the era of AI, and it's the first time I've literally ever done this for a segment on the show, but I got ready for you and I thought, there's so much shit I can talk to you about, right? Like, there's this, like, I don't even know where to begin with the notes. I can just go through my Facebook of things that have, I mean, Epstein files, right? Not swearing in people, the lapdog in it, the lapdogs, many of them, hundreds of them in Congress, just all of that. So I asked AI, and this is getting ready for you, and this is part shtick, but it's not at all. What are the most significant United States laws that Donald Trump is presently breaking that would concern an astute attorney general or anyone who understands the Supreme Court and the Constitution? And it returned to me the most significant current legal issues involving Donald Trump that would concern an astute attorney general fall into the categories relating to the scope of executive power, the rule of law, and potential conflicts of interest. So one was presidential immunity and scope of executive power, federalization and deployment of the National Guard. Number two was rule of law and institutional integrity, pursuit of damages from the Justice Department, Federal Tort Claims Act, constitutional limits, 22nd Amendment, allegations of retribution and weaponization of executive power. So this is 3 to 6 good little paragraphs that AI would just put together and say, these are the laws he's breaking. That's what AI thinks.
Yeah. Well, what do
I
you
don't
need
need
me
you.
for,
That's you.
man? Yeah.
Well, I mean,
It's a lot smarter than I am.
and
Yeah.
it's crazy because I sit here and talk about football and baseball and we just chuckled about it. There's nothing about this that's funny to a guy like you, and it shouldn't be funny to any of us either.
Not at all. You probably remember, Nestor, that our office brought a suit against him in the first go around for violating the Emoluments Clause, which is the nation's original anti-corruption law. It's a clause in the Constitution that prohibits the president from accepting gifts from any foreign powers.
Would
It
that include an airplane from Qatar? Would that would be
well,
included in that? Yes.
yes, to be blunt. But that was only what, $900 million? I mean, what's that among friends? It prohibits him from getting any other payment from the United States government or any of the states. And the $230 million that he's asking the Justice Department for, asking his own attorney general to give him, is an egregious violation of our Constitution in the Emoluments Clause. It's just so flagrant, it's so abusive, it's so illegal that you don't know what to say about it. Now, there are challenges in getting these issues to court, and you have a Supreme Court that's, I would say, in the pocket of Donald Trump. I mean, I think that's putting it politely. The idea, this Supreme Court, which the majority claims to be originalists, meaning that they're looking at what the framers of the Constitution originally intended. They claim to be textualists, which means they parse the words of the Constitution very carefully, and that's what guides their decision making. And yet, these guys found that the President of the United States has immunity for acts taken while he's in office. The word immunity does not appear at all in the Article 2 that addresses the President of the United States. It's made up.
Well, if you have a president who's immune to everything, you have a king. You just do.
I mean, it violates so many laws and so many principles of democracy for the President of the United States to direct that people outside of our borders in international waters are going to get blown up by our military. It's absolutely outrageous. They don't know who they were blowing up. They don't know what was on in the boats, and they didn't give them a trial. They didn't stop them and try to search the boat or stop whatever illegal
They were
activity.
Venezuelan like my people, so it didn't matter, right?
I mean, I certainly think that people of color are in much greater danger than many of the rest of us, but none of us saved.
Well, I told people I was white for a long time. I'm definitely not. I've learned that in the last decade. I am definitely Hispanic. If they, my last name and my FCC license and everything that I've done, I'm just blown away that the society has sort of boiled in it to the point where, like, we're watching the baseball game, we're watching the football game, we're doing other things. And no king's rally. Well, we'll do another little rally when it gets cold out and whatever. I mean, he bulldozed the White House this week, right? Like,
How about that?
I mean, like, if a bomb was dropped on the White House, it wouldn't be any different than bringing a bulldozer in, same damage. And I'm thinking to myself, aren't there laws against that? Aren't there something against that? And then I see what the ICE thing is, which is a Gestapo going into Chinatown in New York and overthrowing the streets that I've walked through to get massages, to get Asian food, to get noodles, to get dumplings, to buy remedies. And I'm thinking to myself, the New York police have to sit there and watch people in masks throw people in unmarked cars to be whisked off. I'm thinking,
Well,
the fuck
and
is
I
going on
mean,
here? Like, as a citizen, like, how can everything just not stop when these things are happening?
I mean, it's illegal. I mean, we see videos every day now of those masked people abusing American citizens, people who are here legally. I mean, I saw a video last week of these women who were talking to the ICE folks. You couldn't hear the dialogue. And some other ICE guy just walks up and sprays him in the face with pepper spray. I mean, for what?
Who's
That's
paying
illegal.
these people, and
That's an
what,
assault.
who's hiring these people? Where's the HR? Where's the oversight? Where are their attorneys? Do they have such things?
They're paying these people, and God knows what their qualifications are, or what their experience is, or whether they have criminal records. They're paying them bonuses to sign up. I heard it was as much as 50,000 bucks. And
And quotas for putting people in trucks.
absolutely, that's outrageous.
Well, I mean, all of this feels outrageous. Brian Frosch is our guest. I don't mean to worry anyone, but this is happening under our noses, and it is more important than football or baseball or any of these things. Well, let's go to the middle of the pimple of all of it, the Epstein files, right? Like the leaking of the Christmas card. I don't need leaking of anything. It's all sitting there. All the evidence is sitting there, all of it on the island. The people he's hired who were involved in the case in Miami and Epstein 20 years ago. Like it's like a Bond movie in many, many ways, the Epstein story. And yet this young lady who took her life last year, her book's out this week, and we've had relatives to the king step. Speaking of kings, real royalty had to step down over raping underage women and taking them off to an island to be sex slaves. It's outrageous. And it's outrageous that people don't want to know, that people want to remain willfully ignorant to it. That's so dangerous, Brian.
It is. I mean, what went on with Epstein and his crowd was exactly what you said. They took these young girls to a place where they couldn't escape. I mean, how do you get off Jeffrey Epstein's island? You don't have your own plane, you don't have your own boat, and you're there. And what do you do when you're subjected to this kind of pressure, torture, perhaps, abuse? These were many of these children had not reached the age of consent, apparently. Let me go back for one second, say, I think the judge in who was asked to release the files made the right call. It's not appropriate to release all of the files, at least not through the judicial system. The I think I mean, they're just releasing the files suggests that a lot of things happened that may not have happened, or that anybody who was there was culpable in some way or another. That's not necessarily true. But I mean, we do know two things. Jeffrey Epstein trafficked young women, girls on that island. We know that he and Donald Trump were close friends, hung out together. Trump rode on his plane, went to his parties, talked about having sex with young girls. And I mean, I don't know how much more information you need. There are a series of smoking guns in the way of pictures. It's just such a trashy, horrible, criminal enterprise that Epstein was engaged in, and it appears Donald Trump, if not, didn't may not have organized it. I don't know whether he did or not, but
Well,
it looked like
his
he did participate.
ability to affect Ghislaine Maxwell's sentence, where she's going to be after meeting with his lawyer, his like,
Right.
I mean, the protocols that are set up to make legal cases legal and stand and not be thrown out, have every precedent was broken in that case, correct? Given his
Well,
involvement in this.
yeah, I mean, he's doing it all the time. I mean, look, here's a guy, President of the United States, brings suits against media companies and others, and says, I want you to pay me $22 million or $50 million or whatever. And they've got applications pending with the Federal Communications Commission for a merger or permission to do something. They pay him the money, not because he's entitled to it, not because he would win in court, but because they don't want to fight with the President of the United States when they have a $1 billion deal on the table. It's absolutely outrageous. It certainly violates the emoluments clauses. Well, it doesn't necessarily. These are folks who are doing business with the government. Depending on who said what to whom, you might make a bribery case out of it, might make an extortion case out of it. But if it's not flat out illegal, if it's not flat out criminal, it's certainly conduct that is unbecoming of the President of the United States. And he doesn't need the money. That's the crazy thing. It's just vindictiveness.
And I guess it's catching on, I'll wrap with this. Brian Frosch is here. He's always generous with his time to try to educate us further than what AI can educate us. The thing that worries me about all of this is being an historian about, violence and empires and democracies and overthrows of governments and all of those things. Bloodshed's always involved, as far as I remember. I go back to a civil war here and tea parties and and the British and the Revolution and how Federal Hill sits there, in our harbor and all of that. And I think we're the most violent society in the history of mankind because of the kind of weapons we have and we produce and we in this country adore
Right.
the love of violence and weapons and bloodshed and the commoditization of it on the internet and video games and television. I was with a buddy of mine recently eating some chicken wings in a sports bar, and I looked up and there's two women beating the shit out of each other in a cage, bloody,
Oh.
while I'm sitting and there's kids in the and there's just chicken wings and the television's as big as the wall. And it's UFC. Now we're going to do that at the White House. We've just destroyed part of the White House to build a shining ballroom. We don't have a government that's functioning at this point. And the bloodshed and all of it that's put out there and the glorification of it in our society, whether it's shooting up kids at school, whether it's these rednecks with machine guns and flags behind them, and all of these red states that get elected on having guns in the middle of their ads. I mean, it's just stuff that like
Yeah.
boggles my mind in a big, but I often think like that's what we saw on January 6th will look like a tea party if the cult were enabled in a violent way. And that stands at the front of all of this is that I've been to Australia, I spent time in Canada, in these countries where kids don't get shot up in schools every day, where mass
Right.
murders don't happen every day. The thing that worries me the most is how many bullets and guns we have in our society and how that's just changed dramatically in the last 50 years in our country, since Nixon, let's say.
Well, I mean, it is the Supreme Court that has caused most of the damage. Congress has done a fair amount. I mean, they passed a law that says gun manufacturers are immune from lawsuits, holding them to account for the mayhem that they cause by pushing these weapons into the public domain. And I mean, we have more guns in private hands in the United States than we have people. It's crazy. And they've again distorted the Constitution beyond recognition in order to enable this. And it's really, you've got these huge moneyed interests, the gun manufacturers, who pour money into the coffers of the people who are supporting the legislation and the initiatives to keep guns on the streets and in the hands of everybody. And even if you turned around now and said, okay, folks, we're done. I mean, I think Australia did that. They had a mass murder and they said, okay, everybody, turn in your assault weapons. No more of this. And people said, oh, okay. That's not happening in the United States. They don't have mass murders in other countries the way we do. Not as many, not as
Brian, I
lethal.
shared a graphic last week of year to year that was one of those video
Yeah.
graphics, and it picks up in the 90s in Columbine, and it's outrageous. I mean, it's as outrageous as these climate change charts that we're going to see in this storm down in Jamaica that's churning up a category five and not moving because of hot water
Yeah.
and fossil fuels and all of that. But it's evidence, right? Like the evidence of the murders, the evidence of the climate change, and the denial of real statistics and overtly obvious changes, right?
Absolutely. It's, the Trump folks and many other Republicans' argument is, who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes? It's a Groucho Marx argument. It's ridiculous.
Orwellian, really, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, they're putting together, they have a propaganda machine. If you notice, the right-wing media, they all say the same thing in the same words. They've got somebody who's coming up with talking points. Oh, it's left-wing Democrats who are lying, blah, blah, blah. They all say it every day. They repeat it over and over. And Donald Trump knows that if you do that, sooner or later, people start to believe it.
Climate change for you, I know it's one of the real, I mean, you're involved in a lot of things as former Attorney General, State of Maryland, but, and you know, when I've talked to Martin O'Malley at length, one of the things he is so much, he talks about the water. He talks about, you know, the bay and the crabs, and I do the crab cake tour, and we all know about crab prices and all of that. These crazy, you know, catfish running around. But just in a general sense, water rising, water warming, Green Harbor, these things that we see that are very obvious here, you know, milder winters, the poor kids up in Hereford have to go to school now. They don't get 2 hours off like they used to back in the day. But I would say for you, being on the front end of this, representing people, representing humans, animals, all of us, fires, all floods, all the things that have happened here, in at floods in Asheville, floods in Western Maryland and Lona Coning, right? I saw Governor Wes Moore making a right, left, black, white, east, west county, rural city ad about it. It's screwing up everything. It's not red or blue climate change. It just comes.
Well, if you ask Donald Trump, it's not happening. It's a hoax, and it's incredibly dangerous. All of us are threatened by it. We'll have more diseases. We'll have a harder time feeding the populations of the world. We'll have less habitable land. The waters will rise in places that have water. And places that are deserts and arid and hot will become uninhabitable. And the immigration problems that we're looking at today, the refugee problems that we're looking at today, will be dwarfed by what happens in the coming decades because the earth will be less habitable for human beings. And there'll be people will be fighting over the land that's left that you can live on. I mean, if you look at the graphic behind you, Baltimore City right on the water. When that rises, how many of those
Bell's Point
buildings are
goes
going to be able to?
underwater every time. So does Boley's
Yeah.
Quarters. We all know that, right?
Yeah.
We Jones Falls, we know where all the floods happen, right? I
Yeah.
mean, literally, and they've been happening there for 20 years. Ellicott City, right? I
Right.
mean, but when I think of Lahaina being burned down, when I think I went out to LA and as I'm flying in there a couple weeks ago, I look down, black patch, black patch, black patch. Oh,
Yeah.
fires, right? Like huge fires. And when I think about Asheville underwater, and I think about Western Maryland underwater, and I think like this isn't happening elsewhere. I mean, Katrina was 20 years ago. This is happening here.
Yeah.
Hey,
Yeah.
man, I
It's an
appreciate
existential
you.
threat.
And someday maybe just a ball game and a crab cake, and we don't need to discuss the saving democracy. I hope we live long enough for that, Brian.
Same here. It's always a pleasure, Nestor. Thanks for what you do, and thanks for having me on.
Well, I got AI now. I can just ask them how he's breaking all the laws, but I like for you to be my interpreter through all of these things. It does keep me a little more sane to know that I'm not losing my mind when I talk to people like you about This isn't normal, right? Yeah, it's not normal. Brian,
No,
I
it's not
appreciate you,
normal.
man. Ball game soon, and thanks for always coming on. Appreciate all the work that you did here. Keep up the great work on trying to keep us as safe as you can, at least with your words and deeds.
Thanks so much, Nestor. Great to see
Former
you.
Attorney General of the state of Maryland, there he is, Brian Frost. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour in the future next week at State Fair. On Tuesday, we're doing a morning edition. It might have eggs and bacon or chicken and waffles. It might have shrimp and grits, but it'll definitely have scratch-offs. So the Maryland Lottery have the Raven scratch-offs, and then we're going to be on the 5th at Coco's and the 7th at Pizza John's. Luke is going to be in Owings Mills every day until they get eliminated. I hope it's not this week, but it has been rough. We're going to get a manager for the Orioles at some point. And at some point, we'll eat turkey and eat pumpkin pie and do all that good stuff and kielbasa and sauerkraut. I am Nestor. We are WNSD. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.